pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you about the reading we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew, the Beatitudes. Blessed are you, Jesus keeps saying. And there's a little bit of wealth of material there. A little bit too much for one day. So I would like to talk to you, maybe focus on blessed are those who mourn. And I want to talk to you about how mourning, the way Jesus talks about it, is maybe kind of a, I want to call it a superpower. So the earliest, I may have mentioned this before, but the earliest depiction in art that we have of Jesus is in the city of Rome, I guess probably late first century, and it's a piece of graffiti. And the graffiti is, you know, it's like it's graffiti, it's not beautiful. Guy's scratched into the wall, drawing of a man on a cross, except he has the head of a donkey. And then there's a guy kneeling before him, and somebody's scratched underneath it, Alex Menos, worshiping his God. And so you kind of go, oh, well, that's not a friendly depiction of Christianity. But that's the first we have. And in a way, it's not entirely surprising, because if there's one, let's look at this list of things that Jesus has said are blessed. You know, it's like meekness, poverty of spirit, mourning, even things like mercy, you know, experiencing persecution. And if you were somebody who lived in ancient Rome, you thought the way ancient Romans thought, you'd say, well, I have one word for people like that. It's loser. You are losers. Because the one thing that people could not tolerate was weakness. Not considered to be a good thing to be humble or to be a loser and unsuccessful in life in any way. So that's why this guy wrote this, did this little scratching for his friend. He goes, yeah, you know, to die on a cross, you know what that makes you? Makes you a loser. And to worship somebody dying on a cross, that makes you a loser too. And I've kind of heard the things you guys say, and you're a bunch of losers. Like, what is wrong with you? So, you know, let's look at it from his friend's point of view. Maybe he has a point. What are we supposed to live like, Eeyore or something? Anybody know, you know, Winnie the Pooh, right? Is Eeyore? I can't do an imitation of a good, my wife does a good imitation of Eeyore. I won't call her to do that. Not as a person, she's very cheerful. I just, man, when she's imitating Winnie the Pooh, she can do a good imitation. That came out completely wrong. Anyway, we'll move on. No, she's very cheerful. I'm more the Eeyore. But anyway, you remember Eeyore, right? What he sounds like is always, oh, you know, this and that. Like I go, so what is this? Like, what are we supposed to be like Eeyore? Like, we're supposed to be unhappy and sad all the time. And Jesus will go, oh, good work, right? You really read the Beatitudes very well because you're so miserable. Good work. I mean, what's wrong? What would the Cyndi Lauper say? Girls just want to have fun, right? And, you know, not just girls. You know, what's wrong with having a little fun? Like, what's wrong with being successful? I was saying to my wife this morning, you know, I have a pretty good head of hair for a guy my age, you know? I'm happy about that. Like, what's wrong with that? I got a new car, you know, I'm good. Like, what's wrong with these things? Like, what's wrong with having good things in your life? What's wrong with being successful? What is wrong with all these things? And why is the aria of the Beatitudes such downers? Right? Is this what we're supposed to be like? And maybe the Romans were right. They go, yeah, this is depressing. Except for this. It's what I was telling the kids this morning. Maybe you can see this coming already over the horizon as I'm prepping you for this. What Jesus has not given us is a bunch of disconnected instructions on the back of an envelope, right? Be mournful, you know, I can't remember the Beatitudes. Be pure of heart, be meek, be these things, experience persecution, etc. Be merciful, because there's people, they're even more pathetic than you are. Like, it's not disconnected instructions that he's giving us. If that's what he did, if that's what it was, man, I'm signing up with the pagans, because that would be a lot more fun. But that is not what he is doing. Put it this way. So what are the Beatitudes? If they're not a bunch of instructions, orders as to what to do, what are they? There's a little hint here. I slightly altered the translation while I was reading the gospel. Because more literally in Greek, it says, Jesus opened his mouth. And the idea behind that is, Jesus is full of Beatitudes. Jesus is the Beatitudes. This is him. The Beatitudes describe his inner life, right? This is him. One of the famous early fathers says, Jesus is the kingdom in person. So, what can we see about Jesus and his inner life? What do we say about Jesus? Like, was he depressing to be around? Well, clearly not. I mean, that whole wedding thing at the start was pretty good, right? His parables, if you study the parables, you realize many of them are in the form of jokes. They're supposed to be fun. People would have laughed at things at these parables. He was pretty plain spoken, right? Some of the parables would have made people angry. He was not a sad, sad person who, found life unpleasant and unbearable. He was a strong and joyful person who was also incredibly merciful. All these things at once were found in him. And so we can think of the Beatitudes, each of these things, being pure in heart, being merciful, being humble, as his, excuse me for putting it this way, his superpowers that he wants to give to us as we're united with him, which means they take on an entire different meaning when they come from his inner life to us. So let's look at mourning, just as an example. So there's a famous letter from a philosopher named Seneca, showing off my knowledge of Roman philosophers this morning. A famous philosopher named Seneca, who's writing to a friend about the death of his young daughter. Seneca goes, yeah, this is paraphrasing. Yeah, that's too bad, I'm sorry you feel so sad, but get over it. He said, you are creating a philosophical error by being so sad. Going, wow, that's great, man, that must have been a lot of help to that guy to know he was creating a philosophical error like that. So that's the attitude, right? That's the attitude, like that's weakness. But when Jesus is saying, blessed are those who mourn, he is not removing himself from normal human emotions, nor is he saying that we should live in a constant state of sadness. He is giving us something powerful. And what is he giving us by giving us this power of mourning? Number one, and think about it in the culture in which he lived, he is saying, make a place for those who mourn. Be the kind of community that has the strength and the power and the hope and the resilience and the sense of my presence that you can make a place for those who mourn. Because nobody else was doing it. Make a place for those who mourn. Did Jesus mourn himself? Yes, he did mourn. You can see this. He mourned when people were sick and possessed, got down on the ground with them. He mourned at the death of his friend Lazarus. Remember that? Jesus wept, right? Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He mourned over the destruction of Jerusalem, which was coming upon many, because he was going, if you guys keep this up, these violent plans that you are going to come up with, it's going to be destroyed. So he mourned over Jerusalem. So we can see that in Jesus, his mourning is powerful, is strong, and has a purpose. To make space for those who mourn, to have the strength to make space for those who mourn, to get down on the ground with those who mourn, to mourn people who are doing self-destructive things. I mean, it's not just a generalized sadness, it's a kind of strength to be able to name the truth and stay with people who are experiencing. It's a kind of healing, can we say? It's a kind of healing mourning. A mourning which actually binds his community together, because we are a place that allows mourning, knows how to mourn, and mourns over the general disorder that we see in the world. So, was Alexmenos right? No, he wasn't right, because he didn't get it. He didn't get that to be weak was not to be pathetic, and he didn't get that the Son of God emptied himself to be with us, and he didn't understand that all these things that he has such contempt for, when you are united with Jesus, part of him, become gifts and superpowers from his own inner life that he gives us. So what can we do with this? Like, let's think together about what we can do if we receive this gift of true mourning from Jesus. Like, how can we receive this gift, and what can we do with it? So if we pray to Jesus, we say, give us your gift of mourning that comes from you, not just a general sense, but that directly comes from you. What are we asking for? And what are we asking to receive? And what can we do with that? Again, I guess we're praying that we can be a place where people can mourn. I guess we're praying that we have the strength to be with those who mourn. I guess we can mourn things that are disordered in our society. I mean, we can disorder that. I just read a study, 18% of the population of Canada hates God. Maybe that's something that we can mourn over. Maybe we could mourn over the fact we're starting to euthanize the weak in our country. That'd be something to mourn over. Not with a sense of anger or some kind of petulance, but with a genuine and real mourning and asking God. We come before him and we ask him to make things right, all because we're united with him. You know that old song, I've decided to follow Jesus, right? Yeah, I'd like to sing that, but I can't. But anyway, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no praying. This is not a list of instructions from Jesus out of the blue. This is our deciding to follow him and receiving these gifts from his own inner life. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for coming among us and showing us how to be human. You are the perfect human and you are perfect God. Thank you above all for showing us your own inner life and allowing us to participate in it. Give us these perfect gifts that you offer us, including the gift of mourning. Give us the gift to see clearly, to care for each other, and to care about injustice, Lord. And give us the gift to pray so deeply that your kingdom will come. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen.